Radiance is the ceaseless effort of a central force to expand. It is the continual pouring off of sparks from an endless supply. The dot may be likened to a tube through which a mysterious spiritual fluid ever pours. The moment this fluid is free from the restraining pressure of the tube it has attained, in C, like water, to expand and spread out in the form of a huge fan. Activity is continually manifesting throughout the universe. There is a never-ending battle between the effort of all life to expand and the effort of substance to resist expansion. A concrete example of this particular point may be helpful. By means of experimental balloons, it is possible to estimate atmospheric conditions above the Earth's surface. As the toy balloon ascends, it expands until at an altitude of approximately 11.5 miles it will explode, in spite of every precaution that may be taken. The reason for this is that the outside pressure decreases as the atmosphere grows less dense, until finally the expanding quality of the gas inside the balloon meets with so little outside resistance that the walls of the balloon are unable to support the pressure we have present in nature. Therefore, a continual expansion from within, which is offset by a continual pressure from without. Thus the physical nature of every organism is particularly adapted to the pressure of its environment. Man's entire evolutionary progress has fitted him to sustain the atmospheric pressure at the Earth's surface. The moment he leaves this atmospheric environment, he must readjust himself, and beyond a certain point he cannot exist. The aviator has felt every part of his body racked with this effort to meet the ever-decreasing pressure of higher altitudes. For similar reasons, explorers climbing lofty mountains frequently suffer from bursting blood vessels. The pressure at the Earth's surface is not as great, however, as that beneath the ocean, where the most powerful apparatus is required to withstand the pressure of the water. As man's physical existence is confined to a certain stratum of air pressure, so spiritually he is likewise limited to a definite plane of cosmic activity. The denser the substances surrounding the individual, the greater the pressure from without. Hence materiality continue. Ally checks the natural expansion of the spiritual and intellectual self. The less material the environment, the greater the opportunity for the spiritual nature to expand, until finally, at the gate of the absolute, the little globe of individual consciousness, like the toy balloon, reaches the point where there is no outward pressure whatsoever. The shell itself is symbolic of a degree of external pressure. But when all pressure has been removed, consciousness, now freed from limitation, is diffused again throughout the nature of existence. Hence the absolute represents the vanishing point of external pressure. The circumference of the sphere of being is the plane established by the inward pressure of substance and the outward pressure of consciousness. As the scope of consciousness is enlarged, the power of expansion increases and the walls of substance are pushed farther back. Conversely, as consciousness is denied expression and its impulses become weaker, the circle of substance approaches ever closer to the center of consciousness. Philosophically defined, growth is the struggle of life to control its environment, or, rather, to include more and more of its environment within the area of its own self-knowing. Perfect freedom of expression is the goal of all life. All things, both animate and inanimate, are striving for that freedom which lies in perfect expression. It naturally follows that there is but one freedom, perfection. Every creature is a slave to those parts of itself as yet unresponsive to the impulses of its internal life principle. Every individual consequently is a slave to his own material constitution. He is a prisoner held in by walls of unresponsive substance. Thus the natural expression of the inner life principle is to refine and improve the qualities of its outer vehicles that it may the more easily control and direct them. It is evident that the more refined the substance, the more easily it is influenced by subtle forces. By a certain definite organization, consciousness equips its outer nature with illumined mind, the universal savior. 51. 52 Lectures on Enlightenment Philosophy. Organs of responsiveness, so that the lower self comes ever more nearly en rapport with its own cause. A common example is the radio, which is a mechanical contrivance constructed AC, according to definite scientific principles which enable it to pick up vibratory rates of sound inaudible to even the delicate mechanism of the human ear. Returning to the symbolism of the line is a potent tile cosmic nerve ray designed to confer consciousness upon the area covered by its tiny thread-like fingers. Man is slowly acquiring control over his physical body by ever increasing the acuteness of his nervous organism, for by his nerves the various parts of his body are tied together. The nerve is an impulse carrier which gives man consciousness over a certain area of otherwise unresponsive substance. Man's nerves function far more acutely now than in ages past. They are becoming much more sensitive and bring to man much knowledge concerning the nature of the substance composing his world. As the result of this increasing sensitiveness, nervous disorders are increasing. For the finer the mechanism, the greater the likelihood of derangement. The Romans termed the line Mercury, the messenger of the gods. Like the lines of the telegraph and telephone, the nerves bring the distant parts of the organism into direct contact with the central station of the brain. The nerves do not necessarily end at the outer circumference of the physical body, but in the form of etheric streamers extend outward into the aura, or intangible atmosphere surrounding the physical body. Here they continue to function in a limited degree as impulse carriers. These etheric nerve ends are continually contacting forces and forms both visible and invisible, and conveying certain indefinite impulses back to the brain. Many of our so-called hunches and unaccountable antipathies or affinities arc the result of curious reactions set up by these etheric nerve threads which bind every part of the lower organism of man, visible and invisible, into one solid body. High line or ray coming out of the dot may be likened to a primitive nerve giving to the dot a consciousness of the nature of its environment. It thus becomes the messenger between the center and the circumference of life. The line is the out pouring of cause into effect. The line permeates its environment with the qualities of the first innate life principle of the central dot. It is the effort of the center to include the CIR conference within itself. The phenomena of growth represent the gradual effort of life, which is innately perfect, to objectify its perfection and blend itself with the perfection of all. In this manner the subjective potentialities of life gradually become objective potencies or powers. Growth is really the bringing of the inside of life to the outside, a gesture from within outward, the unceasing effort of the active agent to communicate its conscious qualities to its unconscious environment. The ultimate of growth is the bringing into conscious expres Zion all of the seed germs of power lying latent in every atom of existence. The dot contains within itself all potentialities. As the symbolic acorn contains the oak tree, every leaf that in the future will grow upon the oak tree exists as a potential power in the germinal essences of the acorn. Growth merely brings these latent potentialities into active manifestation by building into them material elements which make them apparent to physical sense perceptions. The fundamental reason For this growth is the active urge to express the potencies of self and escape the imprisonment of limited vehicles. Pythagoras said that when the triangle is, mice established, any problem is already two-thirds solved. The foundation of all existence is triangular. We are a threefold creation. The triangle of man consists of his spirit, his body, and the link connecting them. In its macrocosmic sense, there is a divine creation, an elemental creation, and the link connecting them. Life is a divine, eternal principle. Matter, except in its absolute sense, is a temporal and transitory thing. These two are separated by the whole interval of being. They are the opposites. And between them is a neutral field where one acts upon the other, for in their self-sufficient states the two have little in common. Divine nature is essentially a part of the divine creation, physical nature a part of the material creation. In ancient symbolism it was declared that the two seas, the ocean of Illumined, Universal Savior 53. 54 Lectures on Ancient Philosophy. Divinity above and the ocean of nature below were divided. The waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. The universe of divine energy above and the universe of material energy below are the substances from which are extracted respectively the spirit and the body of man. The spirit is an atom of divine substance, the body an atom of material substance, and the higher vests itself in the lower, and the product is a living thing. Presuming spirit to be the actuating part and matter the part worked upon, it will be evident that the spirit cannot control the body without the assistance of a connecting tissue wherein the irreconcilable opposites are blended. Thus, in order that the abstractly spiritual may affect the concretely material, a great hierarchy of mediatory agencies must be established. In certain of the ancient mystery schools, it was taught that there were 80,000 degrees of intelligence intervening between absolute consciousness and absolute unconsciousness, each degree representing a mediatory element or condition. Considered as a unit, these degrees represent the middle or neutral field. In alchemy, mercury, or quicksilver, is used to symbolize this blending element, because mercury accepts into its own nature other metals. In mythology, the god Mercury was the mediator or neutral power serving as the messenger between the gods above and mortal man below. Still another pair of opposites must be considered, divine truth and human ignorance. Above, in the sense of proximate to cause, is divine reality, the one great need of all creation. Below, in the sense of distant from source, is man, who may achieve salvation only through the attainment of reality. Here are both the living water and the empty bowl waiting to receive it. But absolute truth and ignorant humanity are divided by a vast interval of understanding. Truth knows no man. Man knows no truth. Truth is that mysterious, infinite, boundless reality, man a mere worm existing in minutes, hours, and days, and spending most of them foolishly. Here the sum of the knowable is the dot, gross ignorance the circumference of the circle. That which is necessary to unite these two